Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw. It's very special Going In Raw. As you can see, we got our Dick Cavett show set up back here because somebody, that guy, didn't want to bother putting up our Going In Raw banners.
Well, the show's late enough. Let's just get it done and get it up as soon as possible. That's my attitude.
Hey, you know what? I like that attitude. That's a get it done attitude.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we got three banners and they're not going to cover this whole thing right
now.
So we'd have to hug up pretty close. Anyways, here we are. Hold on. There we go. All right. So, a lot of you may be asking, Steven Larson, are we on the right sides?
Who cares? This is everything's topsy-turvy right now because we're on the road.
I was testing you to see if you still had that get-it-done attitude, and I like it. You do.
I just want to get it done.
All right.
I want to get it done well, but I want to get it done.
All right. It's content is quality, not aesthetics. Anyways,
well, people, yeah, watch this to hear us talk about wrestling, not to see look at what's in the background.
I disagree. So a lot of you might be asking, Steven Larson, why are you doing this? It's because
we're doing the show because that's what we do for a living.
Yeah, why are you doing it this way? A super show, another Raw SmackDown super show. Usually they're terrible. On Tuesday we were traveling. On Thursday we're going to be traveling. Today's Wednesday. I know I tweeted this out. 2K Games brought us out to play a bunch of 2K18. We capped a ton of footage. We'll be dropping that early October. So like next week. I don't know why I said early October. But anyway, so, you know, it's a big travel week for us. We're going to have a lot of content because of it. However, this week is a bit on the slim side. Simply as, you know, no W Steve W, no fun wrestling WGPW, this super show. And then I guess we're going to do NXT 205 like remotely.
Yeah, I guess so.
Something like that. I don't know. We're going to figure it out. It's kind of a slim week this week.
Yeah.
But it's kind of an anomaly. We're traveling and we've got like a ton of videos to show for it coming up next week.
Yeah. Be on the lookout. Looking for new videos.
Yeah.
But while we're here because...
Can we preview any of what we have coming in the store? Coming up?
Well, you said we have gameplay.
Can we talk about who we talk to?
I don't see why not.
One of our guests is quite glorious.
Yeah.
Two other guests are very
keen on policing fashion violations.
Yeah, we interviewed Bobby Roode and Breezango. We don't have to be sly about it.
No, it's just
it was great. It was so much. It was a lot of fun. It was great. We got all sorts of great footage. We took a look at a lot of the aspects of the game. You guys are going to love watching that.
Yes.
Anyways, first I don't have my notes up, so we're going to talk about Raw and SmackDown.
Yes, in one show.
All in one show.
It's interesting thinking about doing the super show because between the time that we started watching Raw and we finished watching SmackDown, we'd been in three cities.
That's true, I know.
We watched Raw in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to even mention, like, okay, so yeah, this leg of our week, we're in Connecticut, we're in Stamford, and then at the beginning of this week, we're in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So this has been a cross-country whirlwind tour for old Steven Larson here. Let's start with Raw. The show, as advertised, as promised during No Mercy, started with an episode of Miz TV featuring guest Roman Reigns.
This was
enjoyable Roman on the mic. This wasn't quite in the same league as Put That Beef Away.
Oh, it was up there. It was absolutely up there. I would put it up there. Roman Reigns can be infuriating. I don't know. It might be, and I don't know. This is pure speculation on my part. When you're in there with John Cena and you're pressured to do something, I could see how some people might get nervous. The Rock, even The Rock during their feud came off as a tad shaken being in there with Cena. Remember when The Rock had his shit written down on his hand or whatever it was?
Yeah, Cena called him out on
it. Rock didn't have a good comeback.
It's true.
Cena is maybe the most gifted gabber. I mean, obviously we've seen recently, but man, like, no, people just get nervous in there with him.
Yeah.
The Miz, who's developed into like one of the best talkers today, everybody goes through cry
face.
We'll have to go back and look at some of those Rock promos with Cena and see if Rock ever had cry face.
Yeah, I think the thing with Cena, though, is not only is he good on the mic, he's very sharp. He's very quick with
comeback. Exactly.
So you always be on your game, and if you allow any sort of opening for him to improv a good comeback, he will do it. And unless you're prepared with something, you're going to have cry face.
I feel like The Miz is probably a much less intimidating promo guy, or maybe you just understand that he's not going to challenge you in the way that Cena's going to challenge you.
Well, I think it's partially that, but also I think it's Cena comes with a different type of intensity the Miz does.
Yeah.
And I think the Miz's particular brand of intensity allowed for a looser Roman, and I think when Roman is looser, like he was Monday, like he was during that Rusev segment, he comes off on the mic much better.
I think the Miz is as much as they want that passing of the torch moment on No Mercy to be what they want it to be, a passing of the torch moment, I think Miz can probably go much further in getting Roman Reigns over. And I think partially, obviously, because we're heading towards the Shield versus the Miztourage.
Yeah.
However, Miz does seem like the kind of guy who still has heel heat, but the crowd respects the crap out of him.
Yeah, they appreciate his work.
But The Miz is a company guy. And so The Miz is... I'll put it this way. So we've sort of speculated about John Cena, how we feel like maybe John Cena takes it upon himself to challenge people and see if they're up to his standards.
Yeah.
I think The Miz probably just goes out there and says, hey, you know what? I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this guy over. I don't care what my freaking standards are. I'm going to go out and do my freaking job.
Yeah.
You know, kudos to The Miz. Because, I mean, that would seem to be the case. Because going back to the segment... Roman was super comfy.
Yeah.
He was so comfortable.
Very casual.
There was no threat of, oh, he's going to point out that my zipper's broken, or he's going to, you know, he's going to go off script, or he's going to make fun of me or something like that.
Yeah.
And on top of that, if those Cena promos were written the way that, you know, we heard from multiple sources they were written, there's a couple things there. Number one, Roman might not be the best at simply memorizing lines and then having to repeat them.
That could be.
But number two, those promos were written almost to bury Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Like we heard, Cena had all the good lines.
Yeah, pretty much.
And in this case, if it was written or not, Roman had some really good lines.
Mm-hmm.
He had some really good moments, and he was able to one up the Miz on the mic. Roman was good. He was comfortable.
Yeah, I think that's the major thing is a comfortable Roman.
Plus, he was sitting down.
Effective Roman.
Sometimes it's easier to, like, you know, be more comfortable when you're sitting down.
Sometimes. So part of the gist of what The Miz was saying before and after Roman's appearance in the ring was about how the Miztourage is powerful, maybe more so than the Shield ever was.
That was great because Roman literally laughed that one off.
Yeah.
He said, come on, give me a break.
Yeah. And it seemed genuine.
Yeah.
So at the end of that segment, Roman challenges Miz, says, hey, let's fight. Miz is like, no.
No.
I'm good.
I'm good with that.
We're not fighting today. Out comes Kurt Angle and says, hold on.
Well, Miz starts freaking out.
He starts trying to leave the ring.
Because he just wants to go home to his pregnant, lovely wife,
Maurice. Oh, yeah,
because
there's a bottle of champagne on ice. They're in Ontario, California, just a short drive from Los Angeles.
They're going to talk about how their child will be a success.
Yeah.
Not a failure like Kurt Angle's son, Jason Jordan.
So Kurt Angle comes out and makes the match. Miz versus Roman later on.
Ooh.
Kicking off the show, in-ring action-wise, Matt Hardy and the aforementioned Jason Jordan taking on the Miztourage.
Yeah.
That match happened. Jeff Hardy joined his brother ringside, and it was announced that Jeff Hardy needs shoulder surgery. I think he tore his rotator cuff or something.
Yeah.
And I read yesterday, I think, that there's a possibility that he'll be out till WrestleMania.
Oh.
Rotator cuff injuries are bad.
Yes, but help GFW sales. Yes, wonderful.
Anyways, Matt Hardy picked up pin on Bo Dallas with the Twist of Fate.
They booked that move strong.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Next, we had a Brock and Braun recap from their match at No Mercy.
Okay, here's the thing about the Miztourage. If this Shield Miztourage thing is going to happen, we'll talk about it like when we talk about like the main event and what happened.
Or was, no, their
the
match.
Main event? Their
no.
match, whatever. Yeah, yeah. What was the main event?
It was the cruiserweight segment.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. So long ago. So many miles ago.
I know, it's 2 days ago, but it feels like an eternity.
They need to make sure the Miztourage, they need to get some tag matches and some singles matches.
And some wins, more importantly, wins.
Well, that's I was about to say that. They need to get some wins in tag action and singles action for anybody to take them really seriously.
Yep.
Next up, we had a Brock Lesnar / Braun Strowman recap. Next up, who wants to walk with Elias? I do. Everybody does. Elias ran down the town of Ontario,
California.
And then he ran down Apollo Crews, said he's a loser because he lost him in the pre-show the day before.
Yep.
And once again, Apollo Crews lost to the amazing swinging neckbreaker dubbed
Drift Away.
Correct. Next up, Finn Balor.
Finn Balor had an interview Finn backstage. Balor. He said now that he's done with Bray Wyatt.
So much Balor in Finn Balor.
Is that he wants his Universal title back because he hasn't had a one-on-one Universal title match yet. So he has his eyes on that prize, which means an inevitable clash, I would guess, with Brock Lesnar between now and WrestleMania.
I like this. I like that a lot. Come on, man. Hook it up for Survivor Series. Let's do this.
That'd be cool because it'd be, well.
Hey, Brock, do you know which man is the more dangerous man?
Would it be
Finn Balor or Demon Balor?
Would it be Demon Balor or Man Balor?
Well, this has got to be Demon Balor.
I would think so, but they want Demon Balor to
hold
lose.
Hold on. Grey so Balor.
Soon. Oh, Grey Balor, yeah.
Grey Balor.
That's my favorite Balor right
has
now.
Has the most power.
Yeah. So, Curt Hawkins comes out and,
who wants to walk with Curt Hawkins?
History Machine, so on and so forth. Out comes Braun Strowman, angry over his loss at No Mercy to Brock Lesnar.
Hold on. You're like, you run through this, man. Curt Hawkins says...
I don't remember the exact verbiage he used. That's why I said his History Machine
slow
stuff.
Slow down a second so I can catch up. Because I know some of these things.
All right, then speak up.
Comes out and he says, oh my, it's going to be one of these super shows. Less than super show today. Curt Hawkins comes out. And he says, I'm a history-making machine, so who's going to come out? And then Braun Strowman came out. You got to give it. You're literally just reading
no, I'm
what
not.
Happened
I said,
the events.
I said Curt Hawkins did his history machine thing.
You got to give it a little
and
bit
you,
of
and
a,
you added like five extra words
give
to my description.
Give a little pizzazz. I know, but all the pizzazz that
oh
I added
gosh.
To it.
Oh, my gosh. Zero pizzazz.
Energy.
So Braun comes out. Curt Hawkins, understandably, flees the ring.
Oh, terrifying. Oh,
goes into the crowd. And then Braun Strowman sprints after him through the crowd. You know, they go over the barrier, through the crowd, on the floor, the backside of the crowd, near where the lower bowl starts.
Yeah.
And they end up kind of like the production area.
That was terrifying.
It was, because Braun was running with some
Kurt was
speed.
Literally totally prepared to take the count-out loss, or they didn't even ring the bell.
No.
But totally ready to forfeit that, chalk up another loss due to forfeit. He runs away. Braun ran so fast, and it's so scary to
it
watch
is.
That. And there was a picture of Curt Hawkins' shoulder blade afterwards.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was tore up. He threw him through that giant LED
well,
wall.
Before that, he chokeslammed him through a table.
Yeah.
And then he threw him, power
Ooh,
slammed
boy.
Him. He pretty much power slammed him through the LED
the
wall
stuff
stage.
Stuff of nightmares.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
So then Braun saunters back to the ring and gets in the mic and says, I want a real fight.
Come on, dude, in Braun voice.
I want a real fight.
There you go.
I'm not done with the locker room yet.
There
the locker
go.
Room is all garbage.
That's the Larson I like.
Out comes Dean Ambrose.
Oh, this was good. I really like this. You know what? Dean Ambrose, you got to give him credit for being... I mean, I know they say, Dean, get out there and do this. But still, you know, a lot of superstars probably...
Oh,
like,
Dean could eat a year's worth of losses. He'd still be over.
I know.
He's fine.
He is.
He's totally fine.
So he comes out there. This is setting up a cool little storyline that we're going to get for a couple
and
weeks.
And also, Dean, you know, it's not like Dean went there and got completely squashed. He was... You know, Braun had the upper hand a vast majority of the match, but Dean got some offense in. It was, a 10-minute match?
What'd I say when Dean came out? I said, I wouldn't mind seeing this as a feud.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing Dean versus Braun as a feud.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
You know, but yeah, Braun, for the most part, had the upper hand. He picked up the win with a power slam, but Dean got some offense in. Suicide dive, DDT combo. Gets back in the ring, seemingly to go for the count out.
It's a great way.
Doesn't happen, though.
Great way to book Braun. Have him beat a former champion, former
yep.
world champion.
Former intercontinental champion, current tag team champion.
And then later on, we had Kurt talking to a referee backstage. Enzo shows up. Kurt says, hey, do you want some advice? Because Enzo's talking about the celebration he's going to do.
Yeah, he wants a celebration. So every time someone wins the championship, they get a celebration. So he wants a celebration since he won the Cruiserweight title.
Yeah.
But Kurt says, Enzo, you're really annoying. Do you want some advice? Enzo says, I'm good.
Yeah.
Walks away.
All right.
So setting up our final segment of the show.
So then we go back to Dean nursing his shoulder injury backstage. Seth comes up, brings him some ice. I really like their interaction. It's a lot of fun. They're like two friends.
Comfortable.
Gets very comfortable.
Very comfortable.
It's like a warm blanket. And he said, you know, what were you thinking taking on Braun Strowman? He's like, you know, I'm just trying to get out of my comfort zone, trying to take on new challenges the way you should be doing. He says, you're so predictable, Seth. And then he starts like finishing Seth's sentences or something.
Yeah,
crap
saying
like
that he was the Kingslayer and stuff like that. And then Seth says, oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to go talk to Kurt Angle. And I'm going to wrestle Braun Strowman next week.
I like that. I think that's great. That's good. That's really good for everybody.
It is good for everybody. Next, Alexa Bliss comes out and says, you know, I beat everybody in the Raw Women's Division.
Yeah.
Who's next for me? She even brings up Asuka.
Asuka.
Out comes Mickie James, who, apart from the house
table,
show.
Ladders and chairs, Asuka.
Apart from the house show we went to in Sacramento, we haven't seen much of Mickie lately.
We've been negotiating with main roster on how to book Asuka. They're going to give her a new gimmick and put her on an immediate losing streak.
Mm.
Yes. They're going to say that her dad would accompany her to dates and go to the fourth grade and be there too. That was just the crap gimmick they gave Bayley.
Yeah, it was.
That's what the dirt cheats are saying, man.
Don't think that's true.
Probably not true.
Don't think they are.
Mickie James, ain't seen her in a long time. I was funny. Alexa Bliss ran her down a little bit.
Yeah, called her old.
Yeah, she said, I remember really loving you when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I mean, that would apply to, now I think that would apply to us. Like, if we were, like, you know, 10 for the win started when Alexa Bliss was probably in middle school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're setting up a brief program, I'm guessing, to carry through till TLC. And once Asuka arrives on the scene,
Asuka,
she is going to take that title quickly.
You think they're going to do that?
Yeah, they should.
Oh, yes. Put the title on.
Maybe Asuka will get one feud in between.
She might get a feud first.
So people who don't watch NXT can get familiar with her
work.
Well,
you know, she needs to. Maybe that. I wonder if that should be the thing. Regal, number one, Regal should be managing her. He should like leave NXT to manage Asuka.
Mm.
Asuka. And then
just like how he says
part
her name.
Of the stipulation for our negotiations was Asuka gets to be immediate number one contender for the Raw Women's Championship. Collar and elbow. Anyways, let's see here. Seth Rollins versus Sheamus.
Yeah, it was an okay match.
Yeah, it was, man. Look,
I'll be honest. It's hard to get really excited about Sheamus.
I sound like, I mean, I know I'm like sort of a bit of a contradiction when I talk about, because I really do. I really did enjoy Rollins and Ambrose versus the T-Bar match.
Yeah, no Mercy. Yeah, it was fun.
I really enjoy the wrestling aspect of this feud.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how much of it can we take? I mean, I know I say the same thing about New Day and the Usos in terms of I can watch them all day long. I can keep on watching them.
Yeah.
And this is kind of maybe just a few small notches underneath that.
Oh, it is. There's been some, I don't know if innovation is the right word, but the way they've approached the New Day Uso feud, I almost said food.
Mm.
They've constantly brought fresh elements to it.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel this one is just either there's a match between these two teams, sometimes there's a third team, sometimes it's one-on-one matches between members of the teams. The promos all kind of follow the same formula.
It's kind of sad that you just referred to the club as a third team. Because the Hardys, I guess, too.
Yeah.
So, Rollins wins with the knee
cool
maker.
Cool knee.
That's what he called it in an interview.
So now I have my cool knee thing.
But then Corey Graves called the knee the King's Landing.
Yeah.
Corey Graves should just have a gimmick where he calls it a different name every week.
He just makes up new names for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Finn
Balor.
So afterwards, Finn Balor goes up to Goldust backstage and talks to him a bit.
Hoi, I'm Finn Balor.
And Goldust
slaps the crap out of his face.
Yeah, beats him up a little
bit. Says, don't feel sorry for me. I'm not a victim. Yeah, that's what he said. I'm not a victim.
Yeah, he was referencing Bray Wyatt's attacks on Goldust.
Don't feel bad for me.
So later on in the evening, we got Gold Dust versus
Balor.
Finn Balor. Man Balor.
Not Grey Balor.
No, or Demon Balor.
Man Balor.
Now there's three versions of Balor.
Who is the more dangerous Bray Wyatt? Man Balor or the Grey Balor that made Man Balor?
No, Man Balor made Grey Balor and Demon Balor. So Man Balor still top Balor.
Next up, Miz versus Roman Reigns.
Surprised this wasn't the main event, nonetheless.
This was fantastic.
This was a lot of fun. The match was fun. The ending was not in any way shocking. Reigns picked up the win with a spear. What happened after the match was where the real fun began.
Yes.
So right after the bell, ending the match, Miz Taraj jumps in the ring, attacks Roman. Roman fights them off. You know, like he always does. Seems like he's going to come out on top.
Right.
Nope. Roman tries to powerbomb Miz, and Miz Taraz come in with chairs.
Yeah.
Start beating up Roman with chairs, and then the Miz hits him with the skull-crushing finale. Miz Taraz leave the ring. Start walking up the ramp. About halfway up, Miz gets an idea in his head. Turns around and walks back down the ring. They go back in there, start attacking him some more, and then the Miz hits the skull-crushing finale onto the chair. Miz Taraj stand in the middle of the ring, doing that. Three of them, though, not just two.
There's another guy in there.
Yeah. So it really seems like it'd be Miz Taraj versus the Shield.
This was executed to perfection.
Yes.
It was a brutal Miz Taraj that we have not seen before.
Nope.
A new level of brutality.
Yep.
Like we said earlier on the same page with this, the Miz Taraj, not Miz necessarily, but the other two guys especially, need wins between
yes.
now and that to further and on top of that mic time. We really need to see the henchmen, and we know they can do it. The henchmen need to show off their personality as well.
Yeah.
For this to give us any, and it's not gonna happen. There's not a chance. This is the biggest lock of the year.
Oh yeah.
The Shield's gonna go over I would guess TLC.
TLC.
But it might build all the way through Survivor Series.
Here's what I really liked about this segment is the first beatdown happened, and the crowd, they want Dean and Seth to come out.
Yeah.
They really want it to happen. So yeah. Miz goes up the ramp, says, "Nah, I'm not done yet."
Right.
Goes back to the ring, starts beating up on Roman Reigns more, and the crowd is just like doubly intense wanting Dean and Seth to come out, and still it doesn't happen. It leaves the audience wanting more. They want to see that moment when Dean and Seth come out to help Roman.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see if that happens next week. They got some time before TLC. They got a whole month, so take their time with it.
Take their time.
Lots of time. Next, Finn Balor, Man Balor. Versus Goldust.
Yeah.
Of course, Finn wins. But then Bray Wyatt comes back out. Why? Finn's win at No Mercy seemed decisive.
Because
it seemed like it should have concluded the feud, but I understand they don't have anything else for Finn or Bray to do immediately because Brock Lesnar is not going to be at TLC.
Dude, you know what? This you're right. This bugs the crap out of me. It should have been this simple. Keep Bray Wyatt off TV for like a week, maybe 2 weeks until they, I don't know, a lot. I don't know. I actually would love Finn Balor versus Goldust in the short term.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. Just Finn Balor, Goldust in the short term. That's fine. We don't need another second of Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. We don't need it.
No, we don't need it.
We've seen so much of it.
Because if they have a match at TLC, Finn is not losing, especially if he's going to vie for the Universal title next pay-per-view. And if that's the case, Bray's already lost. Why, twice in a row now, why have him lose three times to Finn? It does nothing for anybody. Nothing. Just don't do it. Be done with it already.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it at all.
Just be done with it.
It's a little weird.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Next, Sasha and Bayley teamed up to take on Nia Jax and Emma.
In tag team action.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I get they're still kind of alluding to some trouble, some tension between Sasha and Bayley.
Yeah.
Continuing on from the No Mercy storyline. But they won. I believe it was Emma that took the pinfall.
Yes.
Or tapped out. I don't remember. Monday's a long time ago.
Next up, to end the show.
The Cruiserweight's got the final spot, and that's cool.
That is really cool. Enzo comes down, and we see what I think was supposed to be a big heel turn for Enzo. And we basically got that. Neville the rest of the cruiserweights come out to line the stage.
Yeah, Enzo talks trash about pretty much each
runs
of them.
Runs them all down, says Cedric Alexander lacks
charisma.
Charisma, says Grand Metalik is fat.
Says something about Noam Dar, too.
Yeah, I forget. Runs down Jack Gallagher, calls him like a teacup or something like that. So, and at one point, he runs down, he says, WWE Universe, all these chants I hear coming from you, you can't wrestle. I don't know if this is true or not. I don't know. And I think the proof will be in the results of how this program or whatever it is with Enzo is going to turn out. Because what happened after the cameras went off, so he has the cruiserweights up there, he runs them out, Neville comes down.
Well, then he runs them down, and he's, you know, in response to the you can't wrestle chant, he says, you know, he says, essentially, I'm a star. I may not be able to wrestle, but I'm a star.
Yeah, okay, so we forgot
talks
to
about the money he
the
makes,
night.
The merch he sells, yeah. All that stuff.
Earlier in the night, Kurt Angle had granted him a no contact clause, so he said anybody who touches him, Enzo asked for this, and Kurt Angle, for whatever reason, granted it. It's kind of stupid.
I think he was in a stressful moment.
Yeah. So any of the cruiserweights that touch him lose an opportunity to fight for the cruiserweight title.
As long as Enzo had the belt.
Right, exactly. So he runs everybody down. Neville comes down. Neville runs down Enzo a little bit, but kind of in a face manner. And he wasn't doing the dejected. He was dejected, but it wasn't to the level that he was with Akira Tozawa,
yeah,
which
no.
was a heel dejected.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he gets in there, and like a face, you know, Enzo basically taunts him and says, you know, you can't touch me, otherwise you're going to lose your rematch. And in a true face moment of action, Neville throws caution to the wind. I don't give a damn. Kicks Enzo, destroys him in the ring, hits him with a red arrow.
Yeah.
After the cameras went off, the rest of the cruiserweights came down. They did that. And then Braun Strowman comes down. Or I might have got that reversed. Braun Strowman comes down. He destroys the crap out of Enzo. Now, that, in my mind, means WWE thought that, or the plan was, Enzo comes out. You need to bust out a heel promo.
Yeah.
You're now the jerk who has the title. Now, there's a couple things here. Number one, I think Enzo, deep down, does not want to be a heel.
Yeah.
Because obviously, for one thing, heels get less merchandise money. We know that much.
Mm-hmm. Well, they sell fewer shirts.
They sell fewer shirts, yeah. Which you get less money.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just
so all those little kids with the hair stuff that Enzo sells, those sales are probably going to go away. Or they're going to be lessened to a great degree.
Yeah.
In any event, Enzo did not. Look, we know he is the most talented improv guy on the mic. He did not go all the way or even approach what he should have.
If the plan was for a full heel turn.
And I believe it was. I think he's supposed to be the arrogant jerk with the title who everybody hates. And the second part to that is, I love this. I love that storyline.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. I want him to do his damn job and run the crowd down.
Yeah.
He barely mentioned the WWE Universe saying, you guys say I can't wrestle, as if it was an afterthought. That's where you focus your energy,
yeah,
with your promo. Run down the crowd for basically being sheep to his promos and then turning on him and loving it every time he gets ragdolled.
Yeah.
You want to bring up the locker room stuff, bring up the fact that he gets ragdolled all the time.
Yeah.
Number two, but I do think it's a great storyline direction to head in for 205 Live especially.
Yes.
And so that leads me to number two when I see people on Twitter, a lot of our friendos included. Look, do I want to see Cedric Alexander get the title? Absolutely. I think when he does get the title, hopefully from Enzo, because they have been sort of pushing Cedric as kind of the heir apparent.
Yes.
It's going to make it, number one, it's going to force him to step up his game in terms of the character work and being a bit more, I mean, Enzo called him, you know, a charisma vacuum or whatever. And I don't think that's true.
No.
But I do think he needs to show that he isn't a bit more.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing with Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, that I'll agree with.
I love this, though. And people who sit out there and they say, and I understand why you would say it, because it is a concern. But, oh, they just killed the cruiserweight division by making Enzo, you know, the champ or whatever like that. No, man, they're putting a big fat spotlight.
Yeah, they gave it the main event segment of the show.
And just the worst conceivable or the best conceivable heel, a guy who can't wrestle and gets by exclusively on his voice, which is the antithesis of what 205 Live is supposed to be. What better heel could you possibly have?
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's I think it's fantastic, and I think that it's going to make 205 Live more watchable. And yeah, that's not go away heat for Enzo. That's good heel heat.
Yeah. Well, so long as he continues to do his job.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
If he tries to toe the line of being a heel and face,
oh, dude,
it's
no way.
Fall flat.
If he, and you're absolutely right. It definitely hinges on him. If he tries to bury the 205 Live contestants, you know, if he tries to keep the crowd on his side, which we know he loves, then it's going to be a big problem.
Yes.
But hopefully, if they aren't accomplishing what they want to accomplish with an Enzo heel turn, they'll just take that title off them, experiment done with.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think in the meantime, I do think it's gonna get guys to step their game up. I think guys like Cedric Alexander, I mean, I'd love to see Hideo Itami.
Oh, yeah.
Come to 205 Live. But I don't know. Have you read spoilers on NXT? Do we know? Is he still floating around NXT?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't remember.
There is a part of me. Remember he was addressing the rumors about him wanting to leave WWE?
Yeah. In his promo, I know.
It wouldn't surprise me if that last match with Cassius Ohno. Or wait, was it Cassius Ohno? The no DQ match.
Yeah, it was Cassius
Ohno.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. For all I know, he might be on NXT all over the place coming up.
Yeah, I have no
but
idea.
That was such a conclusive end to that feud.
Yeah.
One that kind of buried Hideo Itami. Because it's not like Cassius Ohno needs. I mean, maybe it was maybe they were just reloading Cassius Ohno with a victory so that he could lose and still maintain some credibility.
Yeah, that might be what it is.
After that. But man, I mean, that's Hideo Itami. That's not looking for him.
No.
All right, now we're back and ready to talk about SmackDown, Larson. SmackDown Live.
They didn't know we left. Why'd you have to bring up the fact
that we
left?
We went and had dinner.
We took a dinner break.
We had some good pasta.
Yeah.
Good pasta meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyways, yeah, let's talk about
SmackDown. SmackDown Live TV kicked off with Kevin Owens. Came out, dropped promo, once again saying it was all Shane McMahon's fault for him beating up Vince McMahon.
Yes.
And said that, but that's nothing compared to, because he said he respected Vince McMahon. And Shane, you saw what Kevin Owens did to a man he respected.
Right.
Just imagine what he's going to do to Shane, who he doesn't respect.
Yes.
Out comes Sami Zayn.
With an odd, like, you notice he had like a, like, he had a cowlick?
Well, his hair was cut differently, or he didn't style it at all, because it was much shorter on the sides and back than it was on top.
Yeah, but he had a chunk sticking up here.
Yeah, so apparently he didn't style it.
He didn't, or just that part. Like he, you know, sometimes like you wake up and you just can't get this part down.
Yeah, that's why you slap more gel on your hands and put it down. That's what I do.
Yeah, well, he evidently did not do that.
He didn't do that. But he came out and said, of all the dastardly, nasty things I've seen you do, Kevin Owens, this is really up there.
You've snapped. It's
you've lost control.
It's so, look, they both do a great job. It's fantastic. I can never just accept it for what it is, because I just know these are two best friends role-playing pretend in the WWE. I love it. I love every bit of it. I love their best friends. But it just cracks me up whenever I see them. Especially when Sammy is trying to be like serious.
Oh, I know.
I'm leveling with you.
It seems like
I know you.
It seems like he just really wants to laugh.
It does.
Or crack wise.
No, that's exactly what it is. It looks like he just wants to laugh or crack wise, exactly.
Or both.
It's kind of ridiculous. It's like if you and I are in a dramatic scene together.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's just, I don't know. But I like it. I'm entertained by it still because I know they're best friends.
Out comes Daniel Bryan. He says
another guy who probably just wants to crack up the whole time
or not be there.
yeah.
And says Shane's not there, but he's going to make the match tonight, reigniting an old rivalry. Kevin Owens will take on Sami Zayn on SmackDown Live TV tonight.
Sami Zayn will once again, yes, be fodder for a Kevin Owens storyline where he is tossed aside.
Yes. Next, we had Ty Dillinger take on Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
AJ Styles came out for commentary.
Hey.
You know what? If I were AJ Styles, I'd wonder, why am I coming out here for commentary when half this match is going to happen during a commercial break?
You're obsessed with that.
I don't like it now.
You know what? I'm on board with the commercial break.
I don't like it.
Guess what? WWE needs to make their money. We put video. We put ads like in every 10 minutes.
No, I appreciate they need to make money, but just don't play wrestling matches during your commercial breaks.
You know what we should do for ours? We should have the ads play while we go to small screen, but they can't hear us. It just shows us talking.
It'd be I like the same that. Thing. That's fine. I'm cool with
see,
that.
See, you'd be okay with that.
Because that's surreal. It's funny.
And it's adding money to your pocketbook.
Yes, that's fine.
Anyways, Ty Dillinger should be thinking, why is AJ Styles coming out here? He's not helping me. Comes out here for commentary. I know what's going to happen. It's going to end up getting DQ'd. That's what happened.
No, that's not what happened. Corbin throws Ty into AJ Styles at the commentary table, and Baron Corbin won by count out.
Whatever, it's DQ, count out, virtually the same thing.
No, count out. He won. Corbin did. And afterwards, Corbin challenged AJ Styles to a match at Hell in a Cell. One-on-one for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
I think that's been confirmed. That's happened.
Not in Hell in a Cell.
At
Hell in a Cell.
It's not Hell in the Cell. It is Hell in a Cell.
Have you noticed that everybody's been evidently given instructions to... You're right, it's not Hell in the Cell. Everybody's been instructions to specify... When you say at Hell in a Cell, versus in Hell in a Cell.
So far, the only matches confirmed for in Hell in a Cell is Owens, Shane, and then the Usos and the New Day.
And they had to specify
in Hell in a Cell.
Whereas Shane specified in Hell in the Cell.
But that's not right. That's the improper nomenclature.
Jinder Mahal's promo is up next.
Oh, dear.
To be honest, I actually didn't watch this one.
Oh, you didn't? He preceded his promo saying that he may have gone too far last week.
Oh, he did? Okay.
And then he just wound the same thing about showing various pictures of Nakamura.
So he swerved you.
And laughing about it.
Yeah. Did you believe him when he said he thinks he went too far?
No.
Oh, okay.
Shinsuke comes out to... Oh, sorry, the last still... wasn't a still. It was Nakamura freezing, and then he was slowly moving, and that really freaked out Jinder and the Singh brothers.
Oh, yeah.
And then his music hit. He came out. He comes to the ring. Jinder sends the Singh brothers out to attack him.
I saw this in Twitter gif form.
Yeah, he fought them off. Nakamura goes to the ring, goes after Jinder. Singh brothers come back in. Everybody's brawling. But eventually, Nakamura hits the Kinshasa on Jinder Mahal.
However, this is not the go-home show.
No.
Therefore, Jinder, I'm sorry,
they have one
Shinsuke.
More week.
Shinsuke can stand tall.
Now and then next week, Jinder, and hopefully Nakamura will win the title at Hell in a Cell.
That'd be nice.
That would be nice. Next, we have the Hype Bro.
Yeah. Versus Uso.
The Usos, the Hype Bros, of course, last week said that something had to change.
Yeah.
Because they were tired of losing. Specifically, Mojo was tired of losing.
Yeah.
So towards the end of this match, Mojo tags himself in.
Ooh.
Much to the chagrin of Zack Ryder.
Something did change. Their chemistry got worse.
Yes. Not what they hoped for, I'm guessing.
Probably not.
Mojo tags himself in. Zack, upset about that, argues with Mojo.
Yeah.
The Usos take advantage of this opportunity, by pushing Mojo into Zack. You get a super kick, a top rope splash, Usos win. The New Day were sitting ringside in some front row seats.
Big
very nice.
Enjoying some popcorn.
Yes, yeah, some very nice front row seats.
Mm-hmm.
So the Usos, after their win, grab the mic, drop a promo. Big E produces a microphone from his bucket of popcorn, and they pass it around, and they drop a promo, building up more hype for their Hell in a Cell match at Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm. Said Uso Penitentiary has walls like Hell in a Cell, something like that. I don't know.
They should have done the steel cage inside of Hell in a Cell. I think that'd been cool for a Uso Penitentiary match.
That'd have been cool. Like that'd a jail really cool. cell steel cage?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. They're not doing that, though.
Next up was my favorite part.
Oh, this was great.
This was my... favorite segment, might even be favorite segment of the year. I had no idea that yesterday was, in fact, Rusev Day.
It was Rusev Day.
I'm very excited about this. So we got Rusev's Pride of Bulgaria celebration. Of course, he's celebrating the 8-second match he had with Randy Orton.
No, 9-second win.
The 90-second victory.
Nine seconds.
That's what I said.
No, you said 90.
No, I said 9-second.
Okay.
You just didn't hear me right because all that pasta. 9 seconds. Sometimes when I say nine, it slips out. 9 seconds. See? 90.
Nine. Said 90, but anyways.
9 seconds.
That's not the point we're trying to make. We're trying to talk about
Orton.
How awesome Rusev is. So Rusev comes down the ring. He stands upon a platform. To his left is the mayor of his hometown with a giant key.
Yeah.
To his right is Aiden English.
And Aiden English sings the Bulgarian national anthem.
Yes, it was great.
Rusev was so tickled by Aiden English. I love that. That was my favorite. And then later on, when English sings about the Rusev Day song,
great, good stuff.
Rusev was so, he was like looking at the mayor, looking back at Aiden. He was very touched.
The pride he felt was palpable.
Yeah, of course.
He was very proud of his accomplishments.
By the end, Orton had stormed the ring and RKO'd the crap out of everybody, you know, except for the mayor.
You know what I like about Aiden English is that his role seems to be a friend of heels.
I know.
And it's a good role.
It's a great role.
It's a very great role.
Yeah.
Good segment. A lot of fun. September 26th, I guess, from now on, is Rusev Day.
Yeah. We have to mark that on our calendars.
We do. Yeah, I have a note right here. September 26th is Rusev Day.
We need to start celebrating that.
We should.
Yeah.
We'll cook some Bulgarian delicacies, listen to some Bulgarian music, including the national anthem, hopefully sung by Aiden English.
Well, really, I just want to listen to the Rusev Day song sung by Aiden English.
And I was getting to that part.
Yeah, that's the one.
The celebration will culminate in the Rusev Day song as
fireworks.
Performed.
Yeah.
No, just Aiden English's verbal, no, I mean singing fireworks.
Oh, okay.
His illustrious voice.
All right. Sounds fair. Next up, Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn backstage.
Daniel Bryan says Shane is on his way to the arena and that Shane wants a piece of Kevin Owens. Sami Zayn says, I want Kevin Owens all to myself tonight during our match.
Now, in between the opening segment and this part, Sami Zayn never fixes the back of his hair. It was still sticking up.
He just took a nap right before the show started.
Did anybody tell him?
Well, there's continuity
at stake. Look at yourself in the freaking mirror, dude.
You have to keep continuity in mind.
Well, we can assume as an audience that this scene didn't take place directly following the previous scene because time had passed. During that time, he could have done any number of things.
Maybe fix
his freaking hair.
Maybe that's just how he wants his hair to look these days.
Could be.
You ever considered that?
Well, I have now because of you. The sad thing about this segment, Daniel Bryan was trying to tell Sammy that Shane wanted a piece of Owens, which would preclude Sami Zayn from getting a match in. And Sami Zayn said, you know, hey, come on, man. I don't get to do much often.
Yeah.
Just give me this. That's essentially what he said.
No, that's pretty much verbatim what he said.
I don't get to do this stuff. I don't get to have fun. I don't have to get to wrestle anymore.
I know.
Best wrestler, maybe. Sami Zayn could damn well be the best wrestler on the planet. There's a couple people that we've heard could be the best. Carl Anderson, Sami Zayn, Luke Harper.
I believe, was it Kota Ibushi said that Sami Zayn was the best wrestler in the world?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's Kota Ibushi, come on.
That is high praise. Who called Carl Anderson one of the best wrestlers in the world?
Oh, I think AJ.
Okay.
And
again, high praise.
Yeah, I think AJ. I've heard it from a couple other places.
Yeah.
And then everybody says Luke Harper is like fantastic. We'll never know. We will never know. Have no idea.
No idea. Anyways, next, Charlotte versus Carmella.
Yeah, decent enough match. I mean, this is what you sort of expect. Charlotte went over with a big boot. She's been using the big boot finish now.
Yeah, not so much with the figure eight, huh?
Right, yeah. Only adding to her repertoire.
No, that's good. I like when wrestlers have multiple finishers.
Sometimes
makes things unpredictable.
Yeah, and the big boot makes people go, ooh.
I know, and delivered well.
Or maybe
yes.
They're going, boot.
No, I think it's the former.
Okay.
Ooh.
Because people don't, it's not their gut instinct to say, boot.
No, especially when a face delivers a giant boot to her opponent.
I do like, though, Corey Graves and Tom Phillips were cracking me up because of Carmella had James Ellsworth on a leash again. And they were cracking me up. Oh, they cracked me up on the next one, too. Because Corey Graves was saying, look at how graceful, because Carmella was coming down. Look at how graceful she looks. Keeping her focus on the ring. Coming down and keeping James Ellsworth on a leash. It was all like one fluid. It was
okay.
Real. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was really
yeah.
Funny.
Just all matter-of-factly.
Yeah. So anyways, they had a match, and then Natalya came out afterwards and said, I'm glad your dad's okay, because now he gets to watch you at Hell in a Cell, and he gets to watch you fail. She's really good in that character.
Yeah, she is.
Because that voice, that the way, it's just really, it's like, oh.
That's a mean thing to say,
you
though.
You are so annoying.
Isn't it? That's a mean thing to say.
No, she's wishing good tidings on her dad.
No, I know, but then she follows it up with something mean.
Well, do you think she wants Charlotte to win?
Yes, that's a good point.
There you go. What are you supposed to say? Well, I mean, I hope your dad sees you win.
Well, yeah.
Glad your dad's okay.
Yeah, just leave it at that.
But I want him to see you fail. She understands Ric Flair's going to be watching Hell in a Cell.
No, I understand all that.
Right. So she hopes he gets to see her fail, so she gets to keep the title. I don't see what's so bad about that. It's like a face statement, really.
No, it's a heel statement.
Next up, the return of the dead man. The Undertaker came out.
The Dolph Man.
This cracked me up, because Tom Phillips, after it was plainly obvious.
Well, first of all, Dolph didn't come out to his usual entrance at first.
Yeah, right.
He just came out as Dolph Man. The Dolph Man, right?
Oh, did he? I'd fast forward to the part where he was already.
No, yeah, he didn't come out to his usual entrance first.
That makes it even funnier then.
Yeah,
because then when he came out as Undertaker, Tom Phillips said, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe it! The Undertaker has returned." Corey Graves says, "You idiot! It's Dolph Ziggler. It's obvious who he is.
That's
hilarious. He's swimming." He said, "He's looking like he's wearing his father's jacket."
Oh, that's great.
So I'm like, oh, I couldn't tell.
That's great.
That was fantastic. Anyways, Dolph Ziggler comes out as Undertaker and takes off the hat and starts laughing.
Does more of the I don't care, you don't care, nobody cares
stuff. Yeah, he does that. And then the cord hits.
Glorious.
Glorious. Bobby Roode comes down. Smiling Bobby Roode comes down. And then him and Dolph have a back and forth. And I actually, during this promo, I was not annoyed by Dolph. I thought his section was good. Bobby sometimes looks like now that he's smiling, it looks like it kind of hurts him to smile. I don't recall him gratuitously smiling a lot in TNA, although I'm not that familiar with his work in TNA, but he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who smiles. I mean, we met him today and, he kind of smiled once.
Yeah.
Not saying that he's rude. Sorry. That was not meant. Not saying that he
was pleasant,
an unkind person. He was
very,
super cool.
Very
really
cool, very
nice.
Pleasant to talk
very
to,
Very pleasant.
Yes.
I just think that not smiling fits him very well.
Yeah.
I feel like he just not smiles a lot.
Yeah.
Right? And so when he smiles, it kind of looks like it might hurt his face a little bit.
Maybe it's the situation where he knows what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
But he hasn't really found out.
Oh, no, that could be definitely
the internal motivation for it.
Yeah.
So.
You know, who knows? And the second thing, I really miss his suits.
I know.
If he's going to come down and cut a promo, what should he be wearing?
Suit.
A suit.
He should wear his robe when he comes out to wrestle.
Or if he's getting out of the shower.
Yeah.
Because that's what I got from this promo when he's in there talking to Dolph. He's wearing the robe, and there are certain shots that just make that robe look really comfy, and he just looked like he was chilling in his bathrobe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that
which would be super comfortable.
No, that'd be a great gimmick if it was his bathrobe, but I really don't feel that fits his character.
Mm-mm.
So I like the suit.
So anyways, at the end of this, Bobby Roode challenged Dolph to a match at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
And Dolph accepted, so that's going to happen.
That should be a stellar match.
I hope so.
Should be a really good match. We also got confirmation of the Fashion Files.
I missed this. So any indication of what show they might be inspired by?
Zero. Nope. Nothing.
Interesting.
It was just that standard Fashion Files graphic
gotcha.
That we get. Next up, main event. We got Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn.
These guys always deliver.
Take a guess what happened.
Kevin Owens powerbombed them on the apron.
Very good. I told you that earlier. But it was, again, like I said, this fodder for Kevin Owens, you know, to beat up Sami Zayn to prove a point for a storyline that has nothing really to do with Sami Zayn beyond this one week.
Yeah.
So that to me is a bummer.
Yeah.
These guys can put on a great match in their sleep.
Mm-hmm.
They can. I mean, they can't put on a bad match. I'm not poo pooing the fact that they have learned their craft so well to the point that they can put on a great match. It was just predictable because I knew it was going to happen. So.
And Shane came out, too, at the end, right?
Oh, yeah, Shane came out. Oh, yeah, because what happened was he powerbombed on the apron. Refs stopped the match. A bunch of refs came out to sort of keep Kevin Owens at bay. Kevin Owens didn't care. He pushed the refs away. He wrapped a chair around Sami Zayn's neck in order to hurt him. But before he could do that, Shane comes running down. Kevin Owens shoves Sami, still with a chair around his neck, which is like a metaphor for his career, or for his time in WWE anyways, shoves Sami Zayn into Shane McMahon, It sort of hits Shane McMahon. Kevin Owens bolts into the crowd and runs away, and that's pretty much how it ended. So that was your Raw and your SmackDown all in one
episode.
Action-packed episode.
Do you want to do a couple questions?
Yeah, let's do some questions. I put a question thread up, and I hope you guys understand, you know, this is a rare occasion when we're out and about, so we appreciate you guys, you know, especially our $5 and up patrons dealing without a live stream this
week. Yes, yes. Our apologies for that. We appreciate it. We got a bunch of cool content coming up in the very near future to
make up for it all.
Make up for the lack
Maybe
of live stream
of the videos
this week.
Will be for patrons only.
Ah,
we haven't discussed that, but
no.
We've got like eight. We have enough for like eight videos. We can toss one of them up just for patrons.
Yeah, sounds good.
Maybe we'll see.
We'll see.
Eddie Jose Glorious Menivar. Now that the entire Cruiserweight division is not eligible for a title shot for Enzo's belt, who do you guys think is coming up to 205 live and by default getting a title opportunity? He says he thinks it's Hideo Itami.
No, I think it's going to be a situation where since they all did that, then the...
It nullifies it.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Enzo cannot go without a challenger.
Yeah, but...
Putting that aside...
Who'd you like to see up on 205 Live next? They definitely need new talent.
I mean, Hitami is a good idea. Problem is that he's been working heel lately, and if the plan for Enzo is to continue his heel turn, that won't work.
We've seen lately, Bobby Roode was a heel, came in as a face.
Yeah. Leo Rush.
A little too early.
Yeah.
Manuel Garcia de Paredes. Why do WWE superstars keep claiming space for themselves? Rusev's jungle, Reigns' yard, Bray's world, Finn's universe, etc., etc. And what do you think is the next space to be claimed?
Multiverse.
Gold Dust's pee corner.
I mean, it seems like Finn Balor right now, he has the universe.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing larger than that, I'm not saying it has to be larger, but the only thing larger than that is the multiverse.
That's true.
Who in WWE could claim the multiverse?
Brock.
He just likes his land, though.
Oh, that's a good point. Brock's land.
He just likes his land.
Who could claim the multiverse?
Aleister Black.
Or I was going to say Velveteen Dream.
Oh, yeah, those are both good.
Yeah.
Both good.
They can co-reign it. It'll be like Mecha Santa super top-notch all over again.
Top-notch super best.
CM Punk finds it insulting. No, we're not doing that one. Now I've said his name, I have to. What are the powers? CM Punk finds it insulting. Which one's that again? Oh, is that there? That's there at the bottom. We love him. So we're going to give him a question. What are the power rankings, the top five vignettes that WWE should have done of Kurt Angle trying to connect with Jason Jordan? Throwing ball is number one. That's the greatest American father-son pastime is throwing a baseball. Hey, come on, son. Let's go throw the old baseball.
No,
around.
I can't argue with that.
Number five, taking him to go get a nudie magazine.
Oh.
My dad never did that.
Never did that for me.
I kind of think that dads that do that are scumbags, but, you know, that's a good activity there.
Oh, teaching his son how to drive.
Oh, that's number two right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a major one.
How about giving him a condom when he goes to the prom? Look, son, be safe.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, we need a...
Don't make the same mistake I did with you.
There you go.
You bastard.
Wow.
You're a bastard. A basket. We need uno más.
How about something like this? Kurt Angle showing Jason Jordan the keys to his own in-ring success.
Oh, yeah. Takes him in the... So you're talking like a Stu Hart dungeon type thing.
However you want to imagine it, sure. Just
cries of terror from the basement.
Perhaps. I don't know.
That's horrible.
It is horrible.
Liam Wagner. If you could remove someone from the WWE blacklist, who would it be? And if you can add somebody to that blacklist, who would it be? I assume this is sort of the Benoit Hogan kind of thing that he's talking about. Who else is on that list? Who else don't they ever mention? Owen. They never mention Owen.
He'd be the name I'd take off.
I'd take him off the blacklist.
Yeah.
But that's all. That's Owen's wife.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
And then if so, you could put somebody, keep somebody on.
Or put somebody on.
Put somebody on, rather, yeah.
Would you consider Snuka on the list?
You know what? Before him, I'd put the Fabulous Moolah.
Oh, yeah.
Way too much evidence that, man.
Yeah.
That she had some shenanigans going on.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, would you consider Snuka? Yeah. Was he ever found guilty? No. So, you know, that's America. Paul Iannotta. Another torch has been passed in the never-ending quest to get Roman Reigns over. Power rank the next five people to fail getting Roman over with the crowd. I'm going to push on this one, Paul, simply because I think the Miztourage, and the Shield are all ingredients to keep him, to get him over, there, more over with the crowd through the Rumble.
There's an obvious number one. His name is Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar will be the next to do the job to Roman Reigns in an effort to get him over.
No, man. Because here's the thing. Let me ask you something.
What?
Roman beats Brock at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Brock collecting on a $3 million paycheck, whatever it's going to be, being a good company man who loves to look at his land and collect paychecks, raises Roman's hand and does this.
No, he's not going to do that.
He's going to do that. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? There's already there was like a meme about it where it showed Cena.
Oh, I saw that.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, I saw that.
Do you really think Brock's not going to do that?
Brock's not going to do that.
Oh, he's going to do that.
Brock's not going to do that.
Can we please bet right now?
Yeah.
What do you want to bet?
$5.
Five American dollars right there.
Yeah.
That is totally happening.
Brock's not doing that.
You do know what's happening.
Brock's not doing that.
Oh, my God. He's so doing that. All right. Then play devil's advocate. Let's say he does do that. Let's say they do get
the most it will be is a handshake.
Okay,
but he's not raising his
hand. That's fine. But what if he does? Okay.
Yeah.
If he does that, do you think that's going to get him over the crowd?
No.
No, of course not. That was the point I was driving at. Plus, I just made $5.
Nice. No, he's not raising his hand.
Oh, that hand is so getting raised, man.
I think the most obvious thing is Brock will just do a little nod of the head to him, saying, "You did it. You beat me. Good job."
That's what it should be.
Subtle,
but Vince is
going to
say, "I'm paying you how much money raises." Well, damn him.
Will Lesnar literally pass him a torch?
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, that hand being raised, that's a torch right there. Let's see here. This one got upvoted a lot, but it's another Therathabata question. Power rank, top five other places Big E hides a microphone. In a bucket of fries.
In a box of Bootios.
Oh, that's a good one.
In Xavier Woods' trombone.
In between his luscious cleavage.
Yes, good answer.
Yeah.
That's four. We need one more.
Inside his ice cream cart.
There you go. Excellent.
Samoa Joe Raleigh. How was your Rusev Day? Did you matchka anything? I think we crushed our content. Wait,
no, we spent yesterday. The whole day traveling.
Oh, yeah. Hey, travel. We crushed traveling, though. I think I did pretty good traveling yesterday.
Yeah.
Gustavo Gama. If we want the WWE to truly succeed, they need to go back to their best time, the new generation. Which current WWE wrestler should get a profession-based gimmick? Bray Wyatt gets a arena handyman gimmick because he's always hanging out in the bowels of the arena.
Who's a good wrestler to get like a notary public gimmick?
Kurt Angle kind of acts like a notary public.
Yeah.
A little bit. Ooh, boy, I don't know. Do we have another witness here?
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, there you go.
I got to get my stamps out from the car, my stamp kit from the car.
There you go.
Let's see here. All right. I didn't favorite anymore, so we'll do one more.
One more lucky patron will get his question answered. His or her.
That's too long. Jack Dolan, I don't think we got the mail you sent us yet, but I haven't gone to the Altigo. I'll go to the post office. The next day, rather.
In town for four days.
All right. We'll finish it up with Mr. James Rodriguez. Butchered your name, Rodriguez. With Jeff Hardy out with an injury, where do you see them taking Matt on his own?
I don't think he's going to get a full-fledged singles push.
Me neither. I think they're going to.
Do you think they're going this Matt Hardy, Jason Jordan tag team has?
I would be really surprised.
Has wheels?
I would be really surprised. They just got him out of a tag team.
I know.
Can't do that.
I don't know. He's in a weird limbo, state of limbo. So, like, if there was a storyline they had set up that motivated a singles run for either of them, that would have made sense. But they didn't do that.
One thing Jeff Hardy said, and I'm paraphrasing here, is he said he wants to use this time to find out how to be productive without wrestling. So
wait, Jeff Hardy said that?
Jeff Hardy said
okay.
that.
Okay.
So I imagine, I don't think it's going to be a full-fledged singles push. I think it will be some sort of storyline they get him in, which could be Hardy Boys related.
But Jeff in more of a managerial role.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I can see this.
Okay.
So we shall see. And we then, shall see. Like, you know, a couple of those and then a lot of promotional appearances maybe.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Autograph signings.
I mean, look, Jeff is out. Might as well, you know, keep Matt in, you know, on TV here and there, but he's not going to be there every week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's it for the show. Thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We appreciate you guys sticking by us as we tackle this long week of travel. Tomorrow's our last. Tomorrow we're on
heading
a plane.
Home. We're heading home tomorrow. It's just a full day of travel again.
Yep.
So we'll do 205 Live and NXT remotely. Have that for you Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Have some other content Saturday and Sunday. And then starting Monday, we're back to everything on a regular schedule.
Everything will be normal again.
So it's just a week of craziness
mm-hmm.
because of all this traveling. But after that, back to normal.
Yep. Anyways, thanks for tuning in. And until then, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.